heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. And by Subway. We sell delicious sandwiches that you will like, and you should get one. Subway. So much sandwich.
This is The National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you, the men and women serving in our military. It's for the millions of veterans out there, and it's for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
This is good. Our old buddy Ryan Housley is back on with us with a group called Hero Box. And this, what a cool idea this is. Ryan, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, it's another one of these things, Ryan, where, and it seems like every single week, the Home Depot Foundation is involved in something that we're talking about. And what a great organization. What a great support group for you guys. But why don't we start this week by just kind of letting people know what Hero Box is all about.
Sure. Yeah. So Hero Box is, we're a nonprofit organization. We're a 501c3. But we operate as kind of a social platform that connects anyone in the country to a deployed service member instantly online. And the difference is, so people say, oh, are you a care package organization? Kind of. But more importantly that, we focus on building relationships with people around the country and deployed service members, because that does two things. We could send millions of boxes ourselves.
Right.
What we can't do is we can't customize every box like people around the country can. And number two, we can't provide that moral support that they can. So we really focus our efforts on empowering our greatest asset, which is the American people.
Well, and it's a great idea, and it's a great, like you talk about, it's not only just a care package, it's a connection that people make with a service member. And now this all came through, I think, your brother, right?
That's right, yeah. So in 2008, my youngest brother was deployed to Taji, Iraq with the 25th ID, and we began to send him care packages as a family. And, you know, he would say, look, there are a lot of people in my unit who aren't receiving anything. And that just boggled my mind to think that these young men had dropped everything they have known. You know, we flew them to the other side of the world. Their day consists of these long, arduous, hot missions, only to come back to an empty barracks, and no one's thought enough to even send a letter.
Wow.
It just shocked me. And
right.
So we began to send a few extra items and boxes for him, and then, you know, one box became two boxes, it became 10 boxes, and it just became too much for our family. And so I have a software background. I created a simple website, herobox.org. It was really designed for his unit, and but they were a scout unit, funny enough. And so as they went to different locations in the Middle East, they would kind of write herobox.org on barracks and bunks and other things. And it grew from supporting about 25 member unit, within 6 months, we had hundreds and hundreds of requests.
Wow.
Way
so they kind of spread the word for you guys, right?
They really did. It was never meant to be a nonprofit organization. This was meant to be a one-unit support effort, local community, churches. And I had no experience starting a nonprofit.
Right.
We kind of
right.
learned along the way.
Yeah. You're thinking, what did I get myself into here?
I do, but I'm very blessed to be here now.
Oh, man. So what year was that you guys started for your brother?
So we launched on Memorial Day 2008. It was the first day that we opened the website, and we've been rocking and rolling ever since. We've supported over 100,000 deployed service members.
Wow.
And like I said, it's more quality versus quantity. We could probably double that on the boxes sent, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to make sure that the people are providing that moral connection to deployed service members.
Okay, so, you know, I have an idea of what's in the box, but as far as customization, what have you seen and what have you heard from people who kind of take it upon themselves to provide something that's really special?
Sure. So the cool thing about what we do is we let the deployed service member kind of drive the ship, so to speak. They register on our website. They create their own profile. And within that is the list of items that they want. And so the sponsor will see exactly what the deployed service member wants. And typical boxes, like you said, they're broken down into three main categories: food, hygiene, and entertainment.
Right.
But we do see, you know, sponsors take it upon themselves to really get their families involved and, you know, home baked goods, and, you know, they draw pictures, and they really kind
That's
of
cool.
pseudo adopt that service member and bring them into their family and share those experiences while they're away from home.
Have you heard any stories about some of the service members and their sponsors kind of connecting on a more personal level?
Oh, it's such a great question. We have so many cool stories about that. Last year we had a sponsor and a service member get married.
So Hero Box is a dating service.
That's right. That's right.
That's great.
So we have a lot of stories of service members coming back and then reconnecting with the families and going, you know, they've been skydiving together and they've done, you know, camping trips together and really gotten together. And so it doesn't stop at their deployment. They've built lifelong relationships.
And see, Ryan, I know you understand this too. We're talking to Ryan Housley, the founder of Hero Box. But, you know, what you're doing, too, on the other side of that, on the transition side of that, all of a sudden now you've given this service member a connection. And once they have that connection, once they have a purpose and a reason, you've taken away a lot of the challenges of coming back to an empty house.
There's no doubt. You're absolutely right. We didn't know that going into this, obviously, but we've learned that along the way, that the people in our system, if you have a strong support network, if a civic organization is supporting you, if your family is supporting you, you don't necessarily need Hero Box. You're probably not going to register. So the people in our organization are the individuals that don't have that strong support system. And so they're kind of, they're not left by themselves. They do, there is a lonely aspect to it.
Yeah.
And what we're able to do is let them know that you're not alone. We're here, we love you, and we support you. And that really does bring that connection, you know, back home.
Well, and, you know, and that's one of the things, too, that, you know, when you talk about PTSD and some of the other challenges that, you know, that's one of the main components is having no support system or nobody that cares about you and nobody to care for, you know, in that respect.
Absolutely.
And I know that you guys also take care of a lot of the, injured, aging, and homeless veterans, right?
We do. We have some really cool internal programs. We can't open up to the public because of security issues. So you can't, you know, connect or adopt with an injured veteran like you can a deployed veteran. But we do a lot of supporting. So our Hero Boxes for our homeless veterans are the size of refrigerators. They include everything. Yeah, it's really cool. So a lot of times homeless veterans come off the street with the clothes on their back as they're going through rehabilitation services with the VA. And the VA really doesn't have all the resources to provide those things. So they're looking for 20 different, you know, organizations to provide one thing or another. And what we're able to do is provide a kind of a one-stop shop, one kit that gives them everything they need to kind of get started, get acclimated to their new environment, and includes items for the bed, bath, and kitchen. Everything that we all take for granted, you know, linens, measuring cups, just, you know, utensils.
Soap holders.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Soap in general, you know, toothbrush.
Right. Sure.
So, but yes, and then we work with injured and hospitalized veterans as well. And so those are really neat programs that we're proud of.
So where do you get the stuff? I mean, I know that you've got a lot of sponsors, and I know Home Depot Foundation is a big one.
Home Depot Foundation is our biggest partner.
Yeah.
They are, and we're just one of the hundreds of partnerships that they have.
It's incredible. I mean, seriously, every week on the program, I'm not kidding you. Sometimes we know about it, sometimes we don't. But you're talking to somebody, and they go, "Oh yeah, by the way, we're partnering with Home Depot Foundation, and they're providing that support, and not just monetarily, but on a Team Depot and get in there and let's get it done level."
No doubt. All their associates truly bleed orange. I mean, they are the most community-invested organization I've ever been around.
Yep.
And what you hear and what you see is the tip of the iceberg. The stuff that they do behind the scenes to support people is unbelievable. It just never sees the light of the day because that's not what they're about. They're about helping the community.
Man, that's incredible. And you're right. They don't look for attention, and that's why I love to talk about them on this show because they're not going to blow their own horn. They just want to get it done for veterans, and they do that in so many different ways. Hey, Ryan, through Hero Box, how many millions of pounds of beef jerky have you sent out?
Millions for sure. So that is probably a top five requested item.
Right,
beef jerky,
right.
No doubt.
What else? Give me the top five.
So right now the top five, anything water flavoring, because they have a lot of water over there, but it gets monotonous and boring. So
right.
They flavor their water, beef jerky, any type of food flavoring as well. Again, the food is kind of bland,
sure.
So hot sauce, that type of stuff. Wet wipes, another big one.
Huh.
We have a really cool partnership with Epic Wipes where they're sending us these really cool, strong, big wet wipes for the deployed service members. And with hard candy, you know, just something to kind of break everything up. Hard candy is a big one. We've got some weird stuff. Like some of the initial requests from my brother's unit were flea collars. Flea collars. I thought it was the weirdest thing I've ever heard of, and they explained it to me because they were scout units. So there were a lot of, you know, they were bedding down with a lot of feral animals as they went to these remote locations.
Oh, yeah.
And so they'd put these on their belts and ankles and try to keep the fleas off. And so we've gotten some weird requests over the years, but the typical stuff is everyday items that we all get at the corner grocery store and take for granted.
And talk a little bit, Ryan, if you will, about the we know what this means to the deployed service member, but what does it mean to the people that are sending the stuff and making that connection?
You know, that's the greatest part about it is about 85% of the people that sign up to sponsor Hero don't necessarily have a military connection, because if you do have a military spouse,
you're already doing it. Yeah, right.
So these are people who are looking for a way to get involved in the military, but don't necessarily just want to cut a check to somebody.
Right.
Because as a sponsor, you know where your money's going. You're not sending us anything. You're registering on our website. You're connecting with a deployed service member. You're seeing what they want. You're buying it. You're packing it. You're shipping it. And you're doing everything. So it is a true service event. And the feedback that we get from people is just overwhelming when they're able to see their kids or, you know, their spouse connect with a deployed service member and get feedback from that service member, and how appreciative a service member is to get a simple box that we can all go anywhere, any grocery store, and get today.
Man, that's so cool. All right, well, tell people how to get this, because what an easy thing to do to make that connection, and what a great program. Just go to the website.
That's it. It's so simple. It's herobox.org. And we've literally taken all the guesswork out of it for you. We have a video tutorial. We have documents on there to walk you through how to label the box. I mean, we hold your hand through the entire process. They're literally, we wanted to take any guesswork out and any reason away not to do this.
Right, right. Oh, man, what a great organization this has become.
Yeah, it really has. We're so proud of it.
From a great idea. Ryan, thank you so much. And thanks to Home Depot Foundation, of course. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Wonderful. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Ryan. We'll be right back here on the National Defense. Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and Subway, just a great partner with the National Defense. And I love talking to folks about Subway, because everybody knows what you're talking about. I mean, if you ever want to strike up a conversation with somebody at a bus station, you say, hey, have you had the latest Subway? I mean, everybody eats Subway, and we got somebody from Subway, and Chuck DiNicolo is with us. Chuck, how are you?
Good, good.
So, Chuck, you've got an interesting job. Before we get into that, though, I got a question about I've eaten a bunch of these autumn carved turkey sandwiches.
Yes.
And I'm just confused. Were they carved in the autumn? Or I don't. how does that work?
Well, they were carved recently because it was on our national menu, came off the national menu, and they brought it back as a limited time offering. So yeah, they waited until the first day of autumn to start carving it up for you.
I love those things. That's great. And the wraps that you guys have now, how are those doing?
Oh, doing okay. It just started rolling out again. It's another thing that we had for a while. Took it off the national menu and are bringing them back, which is, I think it's great, because I know there's a lot of folks out there that don't like to eat very much bread, but
and that's what I like too. And I like the idea that you have different kinds of wraps, right? Different flavors.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, now you do something for Subway that we haven't talked about on a show before, and that's with the military commissaries and the AFIs, and you get the you do that part of it. What is it exactly you do with that?
Well, I'm the national account manager in the it's called the non-traditional development portion of Subway headquarters. And what non-traditional means is that we're putting Subway stores in places other than your standard strip center or freestanding building or shopping mall. So my department specializes in putting Subway restaurants in places like military bases, airports, college, university, all that kind of stuff. So
oh, that's cool.
It's never dull.
That's got to be so cool, you know, for the service men and women to you go to the base, and you, all of a sudden you got a Subway there. I mean, that's got to be a taste of home that they're looking for, right?
Yeah, and I've gotten a lot of good feedback over the years working from folks that have told me they're surprised to see us out there at all kinds of different places. And pretty much any place the U.S. military has a decent amount of people, I'm trying to put a Subway store there.
Boy, that is fantastic. What's the most surprising place you've put a Subway that people would really be surprised to see them there?
Probably the most surprising place most recently is Djibouti, Africa.
Really?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, the folks at the Navy Exchange came to me and said, hey, we got this base out in the Horn of Africa in the middle of nowhere. We got a bunch of U.S. service members out there that have limited stuff to eat. Could you get somebody out there? And so I worked with our guys out in the region, and we set up a Subway store in what they call a containerized housing unit, which is basically a couple of shipping containers pushed together, and built out a Subway store that inside you would think you were at a Subway store any place in the country.
Wow.
And it's out in the desert in Djibouti.
Oh, that's so funny. You know, we talked to a couple of guys who have a coffee company that do that, and they go to the different bases and a lot of the war zones, and they will actually fly, they'll construct the building and fly it in to the area. Hey, Chuck, we're going to take a quick break here and talk more about Subway right after this on the National Defense.
My sister got lucky, Mary.
Welcome back to the National Defense. Chuck DiNicolo is with Subway. What a cool job bringing Subway to the military around the world.
Back when a lot of the troops were moving over the berm from Kuwait into Iraq back in the early, 2003, 2004, what we were doing was building the stores in Kuwait, and then they would truck them up on flatbeds up into Iraq into the bases. And we had a couple of dozen stores until they started pulling the troops out in 2010, 2011.
Wow. Yeah, you got to get pretty creative in placing those things, huh?
Yeah, it was interesting, and I'm really lucky because a lot of our field staff out in some of those Gulf countries are just great to work with. And our office in Kuwait, those guys would bend over backwards to try to help out getting Subway into the U.S. military bases. And we still have a number in Kuwait and U.S. military installations, and right now I'm actually trying to get a couple more back into Iraq we've got a few more troops out there.
That is so cool. And how important is it to you, Chuck, to make sure that all of those, the menu is pretty much the same, and the taste and the flavor and everything that's kind of that people identify with Subway, to find it there and make sure that it tastes like home?
Well, it's very important to us. Working with the U.S. military, of course, they're very cautious about where the food products are coming from. So
right.
We're always working with Army Vet Corps approved installations. And when I'm working with people like the Army and Air Force Exchange, AFIS, when they're, in some cases, they're the franchisee owner operator, and they actually bring food products in from the U.S. to a lot of the overseas locations. And it's primarily to try to be as much like a U.S.-based Subway restaurant as possible, to give the guys overseas that taste of home, like you said before.
Yeah, I can't imagine it. I mean, there got to be some things that maybe are not the same thing you find in Wisconsin is not the same thing you find in Djibouti.
Well, we do have to be careful of local custom. For instance, in Iraq, when we were there, and in Afghanistan, we substitute beef products instead of pork products, or turkey-based products instead of pork products. So, like the bacon is a beef strip instead of a pork strip, that sort of thing.
Wow!
But overall, we use the same breads, we use a lot of the same meats, the produce. So we try to keep it as much like home as possible.
Yeah, that's a cool job you have, Chuck. That's pretty neat. And I mean, these people that when the servicemen and women see these, it's got to be, I mean, we talk about it's a taste of home, but man, how good does that make them feel? And just for that brief time that they have to, you know, grab a sandwich, just to have that kind of feel of kind of a regular situation again, huh?
Oh, yeah. And I've heard stories from the field. I've had family members who've served in the military who tell me how great it was that they could have that when they're overseas. And I was even telling Kevin a story a little bit earlier about how one of my cousins had he'd been serving in the Air Force over in Incirlik Air Force Base in Turkey, which is on the eastern side of the country and pretty remote. And I picked him up at the airport in New York, and we were driving up the highway, and he just started yelling, there's a McDonald's, we're stopping at McDonald's. and I could barely see the little golden glow off
right.
the distance.
Right.
And he was just like, you know, I haven't had a McDonald's burger in a couple of years, man. We're stopping. So absolutely. So, you know, that really brought home the point how important it is to get a taste of home. And if I can provide that to the folks overseas, then I try to do that.
So if Subway opens a Subway in Turkey, can you have the autumn carved turkey? Or does that just get confusing on the menu?
No, it's inside a U.S. military base, so it's, you know, and as you probably know, you know, they try to even have turkey dinners for
right.
for our folks overseas, so it's going to be a carved turkey sandwich inside.
It better be, right?
Yep.
Well, listen, Chuck, thank you for the time. Chuck, doing a great job with Subway, and thanks again to Subway for what they're doing for veterans, man. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. And I just want to say thanks to the folks in the Navy Exchange and the Army and Air Force Exchange and Marine Corps Community Services for they've been great business partners for me and for the company helping us to get the job done. It's really been a pleasure and an honor working with them for the past 16, 17 years now.
Wow. Is that how long have you been with Subway?
I've been with the company 25 years as of the end of September.
Wow. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know when you started if you thought it was going to grow like it has, but you've got to be amazed at the growth, huh?
It's been quite a ride. When I was a high school kid, I grew up here in Milford. As a high school kid, I did some after-school stuff for the company back when they had 100 stores.
Wow.
And I hate to admit back when that was. But I left, went to college, actually worked at Sikorsky making military helicopters
oh,
for
wow.
a little while. They're right across the river in Stratford. Decided college wasn't such a bad idea after all and ended up back here in 92. We had just hit 7,000 stores.
Wow.
And now here we are in 2017, and we're over 44,000 stores in 108 countries.
Wow, man, that's a lot of turkey.
Yep. it's insane how much
that's incredible.
How much food we provide.
Well, and it just kind of serves the purpose that you guys are doing what you do very well, and people are taking advantage of that and appreciating that. So thanks again, Chuck. I appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Thank you very much.
Hey, as we continue here on the National Defense, you know, it's hard to switch from sandwiches to Spartans, but that's what we're going to do. The Travis Mannion Foundation, it's gigantic, and I'm going to let Ryan Mannion tell you all about it. Ryan Mannion is CEO and president of the Travis Mannion Foundation, talking about empowering veterans and families. And just kind of a little background here, in 2007, First Lieutenant Travis Mannion, the Marine, was killed in Iraq while saving his wounded teammates. And from that, his legacy lives on in the Travis Mannion Foundation, which is headed up now by his sister, Ryan Mannion. And she's on the phone with us. Ryan, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. Thanks for having me on.
So, you know, we've heard a lot about the Travis Mannion Foundation from a lot of other people. I went to the website. Your website is incredible. It's robust. It's gigantic. I cannot wrap my head around everything that you guys do. And why do you have to even time for this interview?
Well, we, you know, we are a very matrix organization, but at the end of the day, you know, we've been able to remain true to our mission, and that's to empower veterans and families of the fallen to instill character in the next generation. And that really dates back to my brother. And a lot of times we look back to the way that he lived his life, you know, after he was killed, he was a Silver Star recipient, a recipient of the Bronze Star with Valor as well. And we really, as a family, did a lot of analysis on his life and how he lived. And we realized that the person that he became, the decisions that he made while in uniform, were because of the choices he made as a child. And so we want to make sure that what better way to teach the next generation about service and leadership than these men and women that step up to volunteer and serve. So all of our programming falls under that auspice.
Yeah, and his mantra, if not me, then who, which is the mantra that kind of guides the organization. But now, how do you guys, so you do this through programs, through education, through events?
We do. So the two biggest initiatives that we run through the Travis Manning Foundation is, number one, our veteran transition workshop. So we run quarterly veteran transition workshops in all of our locations across the country. We're in 8 different regions. And the idea is not a job fair. It's not we're not telling veterans you're going to come in and you're going to walk out with a job. The idea is that when transitioning veterans come into our veteran transition workshop, they're going to leave with a greater understanding of their strengths and passions outside of the military. Mm. And that is the message that we give to them. And the hope is that, again, they can go on to transition successfully out of the military so they can take the next step within our organization. And that is our Character Does Matter program. And we actually have over 600 veterans who have gone through training with us to go out and teach young men and women what it means to live a life of character. And that's everything from a 45-minute student-wide presentation to cohorts of veterans leading leadership and courses for 10 to 12 weeks and everything in between. So we've got great, you know, and beyond that, we're always making sure that we are playing a role in the communities in which we serve. Right now, our Houston chapter has taken a halt on all of our regular scheduled programming. And they are just each and every day doing relief efforts for Hurricane Harvey.
Oh,
as
wow.
We know, it's kind of left the 24-hour media cycle, but the needs there remain big.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And we're lucky to have over 100,000 members as part of our organization. So our reach is wide. And it's just amazing to see veterans take off the uniform and continue to serve their communities. And I think that is the beauty in what we're doing and what we're trying to create.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Ryan Mannion, the CEO of the Travis Mannion Foundation. And of course, as always, thank you for your brother's service. And the thing that I hear you say, Ryan, which I love, is there are a lot of organizations that have a workshop or an event or, I mean, you guys are there for life. I mean, this is a long time proposition, right?
Absolutely. I mean, our hope is with each veteran that signs up to become a member of our organization, that they participate with us throughout the year. And that's why we're always trying to provide opportunities throughout the year, whether it's a service project or speaking at a school or helping to lead a veteran transition workshop or even just getting together, you know, in a social atmosphere. But we're trying to create that sense of community for them so we can make sure that when these men and women transition and they're going back into their towns and cities across the country, they can present themselves as the civic assets that they are.
Yeah. And this Spartan community that you talk about, too, as part of the foundation, tell us about that.
Well, that's just, you know, that's just comprised of our membership. And, you know, one of the things that's a little bit different from us than a lot of that, you know, traditional veteran service organizations is our membership is not just made up of veterans, but also families of the fallen. And we do not run separate programming for veterans and then for families of the fallen. We're all one military community. We've all had different experiences within that community, but we think it's important that we're all working together.
I love that because they've made their sacrifice.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I know myself, you know, I'm 10 years out from my brother's loss, but my entire family went through a transition when we lost my brother.
Sure.
And we have to remember that beyond the initial support for these families, which I think the country does a pretty tremendous job of, it's that next step. And that's where we see ourselves. What comes next? How can we help these families to successfully transition to their new normal? And a lot of it is very similar to what veterans are facing when they're transitioning out of the military.
Right, exactly. Hey, Ryan, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back here with Ryan Mannion, the CEO of the Travis Mannion Foundation on the National Defense. Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and the Travis Mannion Foundation is doing so much for veterans. Ryan Mannion is the CEO, and she is our guest right here in the National Defense. We had Mike Rowe of Dirty Jobs. We had him on the program, and he's got a foundation for veterans. And he had a great comment, which is so true. You know, there's a boot camp going into the service. There's no boot camp coming out. And so,
couldn't be more true.
I mean, so with programs like, the Travis Mannion Foundation, I mean, to take take that veteran and their families through that situation to get them back to as close to normal as they can and to be ingrained in their communities. That's everything, right?
Oh, it is. I mean, 55% of the men and women that are transitioning out of active duty, 55% of them say that the biggest challenge that they're facing when leaving active duty service is a feeling of disconnectedness from their community.
Yeah.
And so how do we as a country make sure that we give that to them? And if we can provide veterans when taking off their uniform, a continued sense of purpose and a continued sense being a part of something bigger than themselves, that's what we're trying to do.
They're looking for their next mission.
Exactly. And we're here to give it to them.
So you guys, you've got 100,000 members right now.
We do.
That is incredible. And was that, was it all word of mouth or how did you get the word out? And,
it was very much a grassroots effort.
Yeah.
I mean, we became a national veteran service organization over the last 10 years. But, we started out as a tiny memorial fund named after my brother in a suburban town outside of Philadelphia.
Wow.
And, but I think when we took that idea, and really those five words, "it's not me, then who," we felt the movement happening when we took those five words and we applied them to really impactful programming for transitioning veterans.
And tell me about some of the events that you guys put on. I know that even if there's a place on a website where you can go and put in your zip code and find out if there's an event near you. What kind of events are you talking about?
Well, we just actually closed out our 9/11 Heroes Run race series. So over the month of September, we had 5Ks all across the country, 5K runs organized by groups of veterans and families. And we brought out close to 50,000 people. We had 46 domestic locations, and then we had 10 locations overseas. And the idea of that, again, is just to kind of galvanize communities, create awareness, and make sure that people don't forget the sacrifices that were made on September 11th and in the war since. So we closed out that race series, which was tremendous. And twice a year, we do what we call Operation Legacy, where similar to the 9/11 Heroes Run, these are hundreds of different service projects all across the country. And it's just bringing people out. And we call them Op Legacy because each and every one of our service projects is done in honor of a fallen service member. Mm. So before these kids, start picking up trash or painting walls or fixing up playgrounds, they're shared a very special message by the veteran that's leading the service project. And that's the message of a fallen service member. And they share their story and they say, it's important for us to move forward and continue the legacy of these individual service.
Man, that is so important too, because as you know, they don't hear a lot of that in school these days. So, you know, to get that information and to get it from a veteran, how powerful is that? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that, you know, our men and women, especially this generation who are an all-volunteer force, what better way to teach what selfless service is all about
Absolutely.
Than by them being able to talk to these kids. And
Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time. And why don't we go ahead and schedule you to come back on. I'd love to get some regular updates from you guys.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you, Ryan. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.